It's around 6:30 in the morning and we are walking through a dense coastal forest. The track is not well defined and we are zigzagging through the trees. I'm with Marcia Dale and Shanta McPherson and we are looking for one of the most elusive, hard to find birds in the country. It's also the smallest bird of Aotearoa, New Zealand, the rifleman.
So Kartik, there's the box over there. Can you see it?
Yeah.
So if you walk in, just keep your eyes closely on it and see if the bird, see if a rifleman slips off it.
Okay.
And if it does, just stand still and you may get a glimpse. So just wander in and let's see if we can get you a glimpse.
This is Shanta teaching me how to approach a rifleman nest. I slowly make my way towards the tree, careful not to make any noise. It's hard with all the leaf litter and little twigs on the ground. Ahead of me, I can see a box, which is in shape of a little house, and it's fixed to the tree trunk. The box has been put out for the riflemen to nest. And right there, I saw a very tiny bird flying out of the box.
Oh yeah.
Flew out. Come off?
Yeah, flew out that way.
Right, can you see
it? It was so quick, and it was up in the canopy in a flash. And that was my first time actually seeing the rifleman. It looked like a small greenish ball of fluff climbing up and hopping around the trunk. It was unbelievably tiny and I was lucky to get a good look. Shanta walks close to the box, switches his torch on and looks into the entrance of the nest.
Look down the mouth, down the tunnel, and I can see a nest. It's made out of leaf skeletons, dry plant material, and I can see a tunnel heading into the back, and at the back of that I can see some feathers. So the nest is lined, so I'd expect there's some eggs in it. Let's have a look.
And that was our first rifleman nest of the day. So what does the rifleman mean to you?
Well, I think the bird means a lot to me. As the smallest bird, it's a bit of an icon of the New Zealand forest. It's also a bird that likes good quality forest, and so it's a marker species. We often think that the species that show that an ecosystem is in good heart are the big things. You know, they talk about the wolves in Yellowstone and that sort of thing. But also, sometimes the marker of a good habitat is at the small end of the scale. And this tiny bird is present in reasonable quality forest. And I've enjoyed having a lifetime association with them. I think they're a wonderful creature.
Yeah, well, Shanta's just given a really intelligent answer. I like them because they're cute and little. As you might be able to tell, I'm not that big, so I quite like little things. They're just a really delightful bird. The fact that they are New Zealand's smallest bird just really speaks to me.
Marcia and Shanta will be going around the forest checking nest boxes for active nests. And I'll be tagging along with them to hear about how these little nest boxes are helping New Zealand's smallest bird. You're listening to Tune Into Nature with me, Kartik. As a wildlife filmmaker, I've been fascinated by the sounds of nature and wildlife and the stories they tell us. In this series, we explore and connect with nature through stories and sounds from wild places. And I hope these stories inspire you to go out and enjoy nature in your own way.
We're day two of the second annual Rifleman Census. We're going to just check some of the nest boxes that our volunteers have built and installed in patches of bush around the peninsula.
Marcia Dale is the community coordinator of the Otago Peninsula Biodiversity Group. So if you look at the map, the Otago Peninsula is a finger-shaped piece of land that juts out from the mainland New Zealand. It has the vast Pacific Ocean on one side and the more sheltered Otago Harbour on the other. The land is hilly and rugged and is home to a range of wildlife like geckos, penguins, sea lions, majestic albatrosses, and the little riflemen. So the Otago Peninsula Biodiversity Group involves residents and volunteers working towards protecting wildlife and natural habitats on the peninsula. Today, we are in a forest on the eastern side of the peninsula near the town of Portobello. The morning is not too cold and no wind at all, which is a surprise given how windy it gets here. We are heading into the forest full of kanuka trees. Marcia and Shanta are both wearing a beanie and are layered up because it's always colder inside the forest. I'm wearing my headphones to monitor the audio with my sound recorder ready. Shanta is carrying a notebook to jot down observations and Marcia is sipping some tea from a thermos.
Well, I've got some caffeine now, so I'm not a morning person, but I make an exception on special occasions, and it's always quite a novelty coming out and seeing the sunrise, and it's worth it for these little birds.
There are about 30 nest boxes in this patch of forest. To get to some of them, we walked up and down hills, crossed many fences, and at one point used a rope to climb a steep bank.
So we've just come into this property off the road. We had a nice easy walk across a bit of paddock, but then we had to do a little bit of mountaineering, climbing up a rope to get up a steep bank, and now we're into Kānuka Forest. So we're in the spot where I installed my first rifleman box for the project. And we're in this patch of bush with a few volunteers, and one of them did a bit of a karakia for the project with the first installation.
Karakia are Māori prayers, and in this case, they were used so that the rifleman project gets a favourable outcome.
We'd been in the forest for 2 or 3 hours doing some other work, and as soon as she did the karakia, we heard our first rifleman for the day, came up and flew right over us and just started calling really loudly, and I was like, that is a good omen for this project. It was really cool.
In the Māori language, the bird is called Titi Punamu, or Tititi Punamu. Tititi means a mirage or a vision of, and Punamu means greenstone. So it actually means mirage or a vision of greenstone, referencing the bird's green color. And later when the Europeans came in, they named the bird Rifleman. Now, there are many stories as to how the bird got its English name, and one of which is the resemblance of the bird's green color to the uniform of the riflemen in the New Zealand Army. The bird weighs around 6 to 7 grams. This is about the weight of 3 or 4 playing cards. It measures from 7 to 9 centimeters. To put it in perspective, the rifleman is half the size of a house sparrow, which is about 18 centimeters and weighs about 40 grams.
They have little or no tail, and so they are a little rounded, stubby bird. Very discreet, quick moving, and easily missed. You know, many observers walking through the forest literally wouldn't see them. And their call doesn't help because it's high-pitched and it's beyond the hearing of many people. You need good young ears to be able to hear it clearly.
With all the birds in the background, it could be tricky to hear it. But if you listen carefully, you will notice that high-pitched squeak.
And my hearing, for example, as I get older, it declines a bit. So I can hear some of the call range, but not other parts of it, which is a shame, but that's how it is. And when you see the bird, you will catch a glimpse of it flitting on the trunks, perhaps a little bit higher up in the canopy, and it's got a distinctive wing flick. It flicks its wings, flick as it moves. They've got a tiny thorn-like bill that curves up slightly, and you'll most commonly see them on the trunk. They come in low and then climb the trunk. They will feed a bit in the canopy here, but they like the trunks, and so this is really, if you look at it, it is just trunks everywhere, and Kānuka is very prolific in small insect species, so they like the territory so much.
But there's a catch. The birds like to nest in natural cavities that are found in old trees, anything like little holes where they can build their nest in.
There's a bit of a lack of natural nesting cavities in this kind of forest. It's Kānuka, which is amazing for insects, which the riflemen feed on, but because it's quite a young forest, sort of 30 to 40 years regeneration, it's doesn't have the cavities, the holes in the decaying wood that they need to nest in. So really good insect habitat, good food for the riflemen, but just not enough houses, kind of like the rest of New Zealand.
So this is where the nest boxes come in. Instead of natural cavities on the tree, the birds can use the boxes to nest in. But to understand more about the forests on the Otago Peninsula and the changes they have been through, we'll have to go back in time.
So pre-European times, the Otago Peninsula would have been forested. And the forest would have been a mix of various broadleaf species, but it will have also included some larger timber trees like rimu and totara, and even kākatea in this area. And Europeans decided it looked like farmland, and so it was cleared and turned into pasture. And 150 years ago, we'd be standing on a sheep farm. And since then, the best parts of the peninsula have been kept open and retained for grazing. But those parts which you could describe as difficult and marginal, because they're steep or because the soils are poor, or for whatever the reason is, we're seeing more and more regeneration of these areas. And this area at the back of Portobello is probably the best example of that on the peninsula.
So the forest that we're walking in was once a farmland, but 30 to 40 years ago, the native forest came back. And this is where the Kānuka tree comes in.
In this area, the progression is that we've got Kānuka in the district, and it acts as a pioneer. It's able to wander across pasture and to colonise it. And if you look behind you, it produces dense stands of closely packed Kānuka like this. The Kānuka doesn't grow underneath itself because it needs high light levels for the seed to germinate and the small plants to grow. So as the Kānuka canopy lifts, in the interior it starts filling up with other plants, which other native plants, which are tolerant of the low light levels. Kānuka itself is a temporary arrangement. It's a what we call a pioneer that comes in and starts a process going. And so this phenomena of Kānuka spreading in the Portobello district is quite significant, and the conservation project is really to support them by providing nest boxes. Into the distant future, then as the forest is more diverse, it'll be more self-supporting in terms of rifleman numbers. But for now, we think that putting boxes in will make a big difference to population numbers. And as Marcia said, we're doing an annual survey, and we're hoping that what will come from that will be clear evidence that rifleman numbers are growing in areas like this, but also spreading. So we've got boxes set up in property, adjoining properties and further away, and we're hoping to see the effect of a greater population spreading into those new areas.
The purpose-built nest boxes also protect the riflemen from introduced predators like rats and possums.
The bird likes a nest. The bird likes a cavity, a concealed cavity, and preferably with a small entrance. And the size of the cavity is roughly the size of two clenched fists. That's a typical nest size. So we build it to meet that need. And then around the front, if you come around the side here, you'll see the entrance hole. It's a 20 millimeter hole. We've got a steel washer around it that gives us the correct size hole. It also stops rodents chewing it out, and that hole is going to be a little bit small for a rat to get through. A mouse could, but notice how we've painted the front of the boxes, so there's not going to be any purchase there for a mouse. So we'd say that they're quite rodent proof, and in a natural nest, they will replicate that same thing. They'll be looking for a small entrance into an enclosed space that's big enough for their purpose. They love the boxes, and that's part of why this approach is so successful for the riflemen, is we can easily replicate their nesting requirements and boost their numbers that way.
Back on the nest search, we decided to sit and wait near a nest box to see what the birds are up to.
So it's quite common if you sit and watch a nest box that the birds will turn up and have a look at you, but then they lose interest if you sit still and if you're far enough from the nest, and they just drift away. And then a few minutes later, you'll notice a bird just heading in discreetly up back into the box. Yeah, it's often a 10-minute wait sort of thing.
And after a few minutes, we saw an awesome sight.
Look, two of them. Look, yeah. See that? That's the male on the right. Did you see him? He just fed the female.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
So the male supports the female during egg laying by feeding her. And so that indicates that they haven't completed laying the clutch on the nest. So there'll be, typically they'll lay four eggs. So that indicates there's probably not four eggs there yet, because once the four are there, or whatever they decide is going to be the final number, they will reasonably promptly commence sitting and incubating on them within 24 or 48 hours.
Do they swap duties at all?
They do. The rifleman father, he's a modern man. He helps out with the nest building. He helps incubate the kids. When the mum's laying eggs, he'll come and feed her as well. It's very much a shared partnership.
I asked Marcia and Shanta on what hopes do they have for the future of the riflemen.
On the peninsula, they're really just residual populations, just clinging on to the remnants of forest that still exist. And so I suppose my hope for it is that the Otago Peninsula will become more bush-clothed in the future. It is not... There are some good farms here, there are some great farms here, but some of the country is quite marginal, and the thought that that might revert to forest and that riflemen might be one of the key species that's found in it is a great thought for the future.
We've got below sort of 10% forest left. We got down to about 5% at one stage of original forest cover. And I would love to see a progression of bushy corridors and the riflemen following that growth. Grassy Point used to be a really hot spot for riflemen. It's the bit that sticks out between Broad Bay and Mac Bay. There doesn't seem to be any riflemen left there, and that used to be a real stronghold. So that's the first step. We want to put out a series of stepping stones of riflemen nest boxes. There's a bit more bush and forest coming up between here and Broad Bay. If we can get them close enough that people can really see them really easily and just become more aware of them, that would be amazing, because they're just such cool birds.
40 nests were found in this year's riflemen census. This is more than double the number from last year. And one special nest was found inside a trap that was meant for possums, one of the introduced predators that can eat little eggs or even birds. So with four little eggs inside the box and parent birds waiting around, the volunteers had to work hard to modify the trap to make it safe for the birds. All for the tiny riflemen. You're listening to Tune Into Nature with me, Karthik. If you like this episode, please share this with your friends and your network. And please rate the show and leave a review. We'd love to hear from you. You can do this in your podcast app or on our Facebook page, Tune Into Nature. And while you're there, do check out photos of the riflemen and their little nest boxes. If you'd like to support the Riflemen Project, you can make a donation or volunteer to build nest boxes. Feel free to contact Marcia. Her email address is guardians@opbg.nz. More details and links in the description. This podcast is supported by Otago Regional Council's Eco Fund. Thanks to Otago Access Radio. Thanks to Professor Nancy Longnecker from the Centre for Science Communication, University of Otago. Music for this podcast is from Blue Dot Sessions. This is Karthik signing off. Thanks for listening. Have a good one.